Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And, you know, we've talked to John Irwin before on this program. And, of course, I'm talking about John Irwin, the producer, the director, the writer, along with his brother and his buddy, Andy. They're American Christian film directors, screenwriters, and film producers. And they've done some great work, man. I can only imagine, which grossed more than $150 million. I mean, they're really... They're kind of setting the standard for this type of entertainment, and their production company, Kingdom Story Company, just keeps making them. They did the great Kurt Warner movie, American Underdog, and they're back now with a brand new effort called the Jesus Revolution. And man, I tell you what, this thing is it's just such a special movie. Andy joins us here on the National Defense. Andy, how you doing?
Randy, it's so good to talk to you, buddy. Man, I'm excited to talk stories and really, really proud of this one. I think it's timely and really we're privileged to have all kind of made this story kind of come to life. So it's a special one.
And you guys specialize in these kind of true stories that are just that connect with so many people. How do you find your material?
Well, we're not smart enough to go find the material. It's just. You know, we're just dumb storytellers. You know, the good ones tend to find us. But when we find a story that really checks the boxes of kind of the kind of stories we know how to tell, which are, you know, redemption stories, underdog stories, you know, triumph of the human spirit, and really things that are rooted in faith and you know, all American values. Those are the stories. When we find one of those, we're like, okay, let's tell this one. And so whether that's a good sports movie like Kurt Warner with American Underdog,
right,
or in this case, we did a movie back in the day about 8 years ago called Woodlawn. And when we did Woodlawn, it was a football story. It happened in the 1970s and during the last part of integration in Birmingham, Alabama. And it had to do with this spiritual awakening that hit the country in the 1970s called the Jesus Movement. And there was a Time magazine cover that my brother discovered at the end of that film that had Jesus on the cover, and it said the Jesus Revolution. And then he traced back about 4 years earlier, and the Time cover was an all-black cover that had the letters that said, is God dead?
And I remember that.
He just started asking the question, what in the heck must have seismically shifted during those 4 years between those two Time magazine covers? And as he dug into it, he discovered the Jesus Revolution, and he came back and was like, we're going to tell the rest of this story. So it's a special one.
Yeah, and it's a great cast. It's such a great story. And let me tell you, there could never be a better time for this movie to come out.
Yep.
And I want to ask you too, Andy, you know, you guys are described a lot as Christian film directors.
Sure.
And do you like that title? Do you, I mean, why wouldn't it just be great American directors? And the only reason I say that is, as a Christian, you know, before you guys came along, if I heard the word Christian film, it'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. You know, I think... You know, the thing I like about a movie like Jesus Revolution is it's both overtly Christian and it's also very counterculture. So it's like, how do you check both those boxes? You can't categorize that. And so for us, you know, we don't really apologize. However you want to put us in a category, if you wanted to say that we're great filmmakers or good filmmakers that are Christians, like, we don't apologize for that. If you want to call us Christian filmmakers, we don't apologize for that. We're like, we are what we are.
Yeah.
We tell good stories.
I love that.
We tell stories that move our spirit. And the things that really motivate us are stories of faith and redemption. And I think our country needs a big dose of that. And so we're happy to champion these kind of stories, whatever box you want to put us in. We just kind of have a chip on our shoulder and be like, we are what we are. We're going to tell our stories and, you know, put us in whatever category you want. We're going to tell the stories we want to do. And there's a bit of a rebelliousness to what we like to do that, you know, in the past, you know, it's just because we're a little crazy. But like in the past, you know, people wanted to say it's cheesy or that type of stuff. And I get that. I get that criticism. I see a lot of people that were trailblazers trying to carve a path that wasn't there. And there's a lot of rudimentary early steps. But we just try to say, you know, quality is something we always chase. It's not something we ever catch. And we just try to get a little bit better with each story. And Jesus Revolution is the boldest thing that the team has gotten a chance to do. And I'm proud of what my brother and his directing partner on this one, Brent McCorkle, did. It's a special movie.
Absolutely. We're talking to Andy Irwin here on the National Defense, the new movie, Jesus Revolution. Let me try to remember who else was very rebellious. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Jesus was a master storyteller, and he was a rebel, and he was counterculture.
I always say that Jesus was the greatest marketing person that I've ever heard of.
Yes, he was a disruptor. He loved to drop these stories called parables that were that had meanings that people had to dig in and be like, what was that about?
Right.
And then they just dug into the rest of it. It's like, what? Please teach us. What is this? And so I think, you know, if, you know, he just loved to engage the heart emotionally with intriguing stories that got people thinking. And then he used that to put his truth in it. And and so, you know, we try to be like maybe a little bit of a reflection of the person that we follow. And those are the stories. And I think there's something really powerful about true stories. You know, people
absolutely
don't know how to criticize it when somebody lived it. And that's what happened with Jesus Revolution.
It's like, what is Jesus writing in the dirt? What is he writing in the, you know, and, you know, you mentioned before, how do you check both of those boxes with counterculture? You do it with Kelsey Grammer and the Doobie Brothers, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great soundtrack, man. It's an expensive soundtrack.
It's a great. I'll bet.
The last song we secured for this one was Fleetwood Mac, "Don't Stop," and like it was a who's who's list of, you know, we made a limited run of these records for the cast and crew, and it was the Jesus Revolution album. It was awesome, but we you know, this one, it was just the story takes place during this period of time in the 1970s when the hippies were these kids that a lot of times we portray them as the bad kids chasing sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But no, these were kids that were searching for the right thing in all the wrong places. They were looking for truth and to belong and identity and the things that I think, you know, the youth of today are looking for.
Exactly.
And, you know, the hippies tried to find that in this, you know, group to belong to, that they thought that LSD was going to be what unlocked their mind to this spiritual world. And then the bottom fell out. And so I think today there's a group of people that are really looking for that, and whatever agenda they want to jump on, or, you know, social media or any of those type things to belong to. But I just think it's looking for the right thing in the wrong place. And then in this moment in time, these people, they call themselves freaks. When the bottom dropped out of the hippie movement, they encountered this amazing spiritual awakening that was in its rawest, purest form. And then this revival of these kids called freaks became Jesus freaks, and it swept the country. And so Lonnie Frisbee plays the hippie evangelist, or Lonnie Frisbee is played. He's the hippie evangelist. He's played by Jonathan Rumi from The Chosen.
He's great.
And he plays Jesus in The Chosen, and he's amazing. And then Kelsey Grammer plays Chuck Smith, the kind of old guard, established preacher from Calvary Chapel. And it's the two of them that were the nitroglycerin that ignited this West Coast revival that started there and also started Asbury College. And it just swept the country.
Man, I love it so much. And you know, the first time I saw the trailer for the movie, and you see Kelsey Grammer kind of react to this hippie preacher, and immediately I thought of Archie Bunker. I mean, that kind of
get off my lawn.
Right.
He's like, you know, exactly.
Like,
who are these young punks?
Right.
And, you know, and he thought it was like, he distrusted it. He thought they were no good. But his daughter and his wife pushed him to just consider that maybe this is a good thing. And he met this guy, Lonnie Frisbee, and it was the first hippie he actually met. And next thing you know, he opened the church doors and said, let the hippies in. And it was an amazing moment in church history, an amazing moment in the history of our faith. And we haven't seen a movement like that in 50 years.
That is so cool. We're talking to Andy Irwin here in the National Defense, the new movie, Jesus Revolution. You know, I can't think of any other successful brother teams like you and John, except for maybe the Kelsey brothers.
Yeah. The Kendrick brothers. Yeah. I don't know if it's a marketing hook or whatever, but, you know, whether it's the, you know, on the secular side, whether it's the, you know, the Coen brothers or,
Russo
brothers that did the Avengers movies. It's funny. One of our first interviews with the New York Times, like 15 years ago, the writer, she was like, you know, we were the new guys in faith and that type of thing. And she was like, yeah, you guys are really dysfunctional and remind me so much of my last conversation with the Coen brothers. And I stopped her. I was like, Wait a minute. Can I just quote that the New York Times compared the Irwin brothers to the Coen brothers? I just want to print that headline.
right. Oh, man. Well, you know, our audience is comprised mainly of active duty military veterans and their families. So
yep.
I want to talk about your grandpa, man. I mean, and that's what when we had John on, the book had just come out, and you guys are, first of all, your dad, right? It was a senator.
Mm-hmm.
And then your grandpa, Henry Eugene Red Irwin, Medal of Honor recipient and World War II veteran. Man, that's some lineage there.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I mean, I think the Medal of Honor is something that, you know, people don't win. It's just kind of it's a moment that people earn based on a moment they don't really prepare for. Their life just kind of shapes them for a moment, and then something happens and instinctually certain people react. And my granddad was one of those that for whatever reason in that moment reacted and you know, saved the lives of the guys on his B-29 Super Fortress in World War II when a phosphorus bomb shot back up into the plane after it hit some flak, ignited, filled the plane with smoke, and they went into a dive at several hundred feet, and he was able to pick that up like a football and carry from the back of the plane to the front and throw it out. And the phosphorus burns, you know, at a temperature that melts metal. And so, you know, it was just one of those things. He bore the scars and the results of that the rest of his life. But he always said that he never considered himself a hero, that it was the heroes were his friends that didn't come back. And I think that's a pretty common theme between most Medal of Honor recipients, is that feeling of the duty and responsibility that, no, I'm not the hero, I survived. And that medal carries a tremendous weight to it, far more than one person can really bear or handle. But we just always were raised with a tremendous respect for the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform and what they do to keep us free. So it's the stories that we dig into. So like the story we're developing right now, that's the next one that we take on after Jesus Revolution, is my favorite book. It's a book called Fearless, about Adam Brown, who was a Navy SEAL. His story is one that my mentor is an actor, producer named Gary Sinise. And Gary, who played Lieutenant Dan and Forrest Gump and has done so much for our military, he sent me the book and he said, if I was a younger man, I would direct this movie. It needs to be your next movie. And at the same time, the family had reached out to us. He had seen I Can Only Imagine and loved the film and had reached us about the same time. And we chased the rights to it for about 4 years and finally got a hold of the rights last year. And then Jason Hall, that wrote American Sniper, is adapting the book and writing the script. And so producing it with us.
Wow.
So it's going to be an amazing project. I called the family and I said, if this is the last film I ever do, this is the most important one, and we have to get it right. And so have a love for our military and the sacrifice for people like Adam, that went from being a drug addict with 7 felonies to fighting his way to get sober and found redemption in his faith, and ended up dying a hero in Afghanistan as a member of SEAL Team 6.
What an incredible story that is. And that's going to be, oh man, I can't wait for that one. We were talking to Andy Irwin here in the National Defense, the current movie of Jesus Revolution. And I want to talk to you about some of these. You threw out some big names there that you guys are associated with. And Gary Sinise has been on this show many times. Just a great, great guy. And
I wish he'd run for president.
Oh my gosh. Hey, I've said that to him before. And he's, you know,
I have. I think everybody has. They're just like, it's like a second coming of Ronald Reagan. But he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm crazy enough for that. Yeah. That world is like, that's why you're the guy, man.
Right.
Come on.
Exactly. The people that don't want to run for president should run for president.
Exactly. I'm like, I would vote for you in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
I would like leave my job and follow you into battle to run your campaign.
Hey, listen, you had such an effect on Gary Sinise. He moved to Nashville.
Yeah, he is. He set up shop. In fact, his new headquarters the Gary Sinise Foundation does such an amazing work for our men and women in uniform and people that serve in public venues like the, you know, police force and firefighters and first responders. So like, you know, the amount of work that man does on behalf of people that serve us in our country is huge. They moved from the West Coast and moved their headquarters to about a half mile from my studio in Nashville. So we're neighbors. So he's doing amazing work. But yeah, so Gary has mentored us for years, and Fearless is one that was on his radar before it was on ours.
Well, you know, when you approach these people, whether it's Dennis Quaid or Kelsey Grammer or, you know, the sniper guy, and they find out it's a Christian project. Now, obviously, you've had tremendous success, and not just success and connecting with people, but also financially and box office wise. Do you ever get any hesitation because of the material?
You know, it's really been interesting. We've been excited to kind of debunk the myth of what a Christian is in the industry. And we're part of that conversation. And I think there's been a lot of strides made in that, that at first there was a lot of fear and trepidation because of, you know, whatever stereotype was associated with it. But we actually actively seek out what we call our benevolent skeptics, people that don't necessarily have to have the same belief as us. Now, it really lines up when we can work with somebody like a Gary Sinise or a Dennis Quaid that do.
Right.
But when it's somebody that doesn't, we invite all shapes and sizes to be a part of what we do, as long as the defining kind of map that we follow for each of this is trying to understand and wrestle with real life stories of faith, of what people really lived. And if you can embrace trying to understand the character you're playing and what their faith means to them and interpret it that, there's really something really refreshing when it's somebody that might be outside the box that doesn't necessarily totally understand it, but they have to wrestle with it. So like, you know, in a movie like American Underdog, when we cast Anna Paquin, Anna, first thing she said is she said, I love this script. I love this story. Kurt and Brenda Warner. She said, but I'm not a person of faith. I don't understand this at all. And she said, is this a problem for me playing the role? And I said, Anna, absolutely not. As long as you can do what I just said of, you know, trying to understand Brenda's real life faith. She said, I totally want to do that. That's what I do with all my characters. And I was like, well, then who wouldn't want to cast an Oscar winner? Right. So when Anna came in, we had conversations about faith every day on set, trying to wrestle with and understand and find. And I think it's one of the most pure portrayals of a Christian that I've seen on film in a long time, because Anna just really fought to try to tenaciously understand Brenda. And they developed a friendship that lasts to this day. And so, so, you know, I think it's exciting of, you know, all shapes and sizes are coming to, you know, this idea of faith film. And I think it's kind of entering its heyday. And that's why we can have actors like Kelsey Grammer and people like that in this new one that it's been exciting to collaborate with.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that is the very definition of a curious Christian. You know, you're always you're questioning everything. You're examining everything, I should say. And you just want to. You know, I know at least in my faith, I love connecting with people like that too, that aren't necessarily right on the path I am, but are curious, or you know, and it's just that's a great way to look at that, man. That's very cool. And
well, I think the faith holds up. You know, it's like true Christianity at its core, not religiousness, but like what Jesus was about. It holds up, and as you kind of turn up the fire of trying to ask the hard questions, like you don't have to be afraid of it. And so I think it allows you to really engage the benevolent skeptic and those curious people with trying to let them be on their journey. And those are the stories that we like to tell. And we like to ask those questions with our stories.
And Andy, you know, we talked about this thing coming out, the Jesus Revolution, at the perfect time. And it's going to be released. Is the release date still February 24th?
Yep, it's nationwide, February 24th. It's going to be everywhere.
And so in 1969, 1970, when all of this was going on, it really hit me this morning about how similar that time was to where we are now in terms of people just absolutely at each other's throats. And so for this to come out and for if it does nothing else than make somebody take a step back, take a breath, try to understand another point of view, that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the idea of having a common ground where we can start to have a conversation instead of, you know, and so this one, this film is, like I said, it's those two things. It's overtly Christian and it's counterculture. And so it's a great meeting place for people to start having healthy discussions again. And it's stories of spiritual awakenings or revivals kind of spark revivals. And, you know, the time period was very similar to where there was such a disillusionment when the hippie movement died and they had the funeral of the hippie movement in Haight-Ashbury. And they literally took an empty coffin through the streets to say the hippie movement did not work. And in the midst of that disillusionment and that pain, having come out of the assassinations of JFK and Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr. and all the different things that had happened, the civil unrest, the riots in Chicago with the DNC, like there were so many things coming out of that time period and people being disillusioned with the Vietnam War, that I think that there's an equal unrest and anger and desire for justice now, but not knowing the source of where to find those things. And I think we are primed. It's like a powder keg right now, that we are primed for a spiritual awakening, for
yes,
people just crave hope so much. And so I think that this story hopefully be a part of that conversation, to be like, this happened once before 50 years ago. And I'll tell you my case in point. I talked about, like, the part of the story that we tell is that the hippie revival that happened on the West Coast. Well, the other place that it happened at the same time was at Asbury College in Kentucky. And it started February 8th, 50 years ago. Huh. And right now there's a revival that just sparked. If you check the news feeds out, there's a revival that just sparked again at Asbury College that started about 10 days ago. And
really?
It's raging right now. There's been, I'll send you the articles about it, but it's fascinating. The deep dive of just, you know, I just think that it's not because of us. It's not because of our story. I just think that there is a huge undercurrent of a desire for something real when it comes to faith again.
Man, that is so cool. We're talking to Andy Irwin here in the National Defense and the new movie, A Jesus Revolution. And, you know, I was just having this conversation with somebody else the other day, but the media is so quick to pronounce something dead.
Yep.
You know, they're so quick to abandon something and say, hey, we told you this wouldn't work. And that kind of turns it on. Your movie turns it on its head.
Yeah, you know, it's again, I just think that there's something to be said for, the rebels, you know, the disciples were a bunch of rebels, and 12 people, you know, upended the world, after, you know, Jesus came back to life. And it's like this idea of being rebels with a chip on our shoulder, being like, hey, you know, say that we're done and buried. Like, you know, we'll give you, let us tell you what our faith is really about. It's about death and rebirth.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that idea that people saying that, you know, we're, you know, that we're in a post, you know, Christian society and all that type of stuff. And those things are accurate of maybe the current climate. But I think that, you know, looking at the future rather than just looking at the present, I think the future could be amazing, because I think we are primed for God to do something fresh.
Oh, man.
And I just think the world's not going to see it coming when it happens.
As a former pastor of mine used to say, I love it when God shows up and shows off.
Yep, that's true.
Andy,
that's it.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks for the work that that you and John are doing. Just another great example of that, Jesus Revolution, which is out everywhere on February 24th. Thank you, man.
I appreciate you, Randy. You're the real deal.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.